Right, take your Bibles, if you will, turn with me over to Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, if you will, be making your way there. And over the next 12 weeks, I want to focus on one thing that's foundational and essential and vital. It's a spiritual discipline that, frankly, we probably don't practice as we ought. I asked Brother Winston to ask Miss Jan to play a particular hymn tonight for a reason. Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer. I love that great hymn of the faith, and it made me think oftentimes churches meet for prayer meeting, and rarely do they spend much time praying. Can we be honest? Can I get an amen? Sadly, it's oh my. You would think the house is supposed to be a house of prayer. It's supposed to be when we call on the Lord and acknowledge we need you desperately, and it's not just a corporate thing we do in our own spiritual disciplines. We should be praying earnestly. I was talking to someone on Whit Monday and talking about ministry and how do we do what we do and how even Martin Luther did what he did and how he would say, I just don't know how I'm going to have enough time in the day. I'm going to have to pray not 3 hours but 4 hours today. And I thought, my goodness, right? Bathing everything you do, bathing it all in prayer for God to guide us and direct us. You know, I don't know if you do that in the morning. I don't know if you spend 3 to 4 hours in prayer. Probably not, I'll say. But I do know this. There is a sense in which we need to be more earnest in our seeking the face of God. If we're honest, sometimes we forget we have an audience with the Creator of all things, right? We're going into His presence. And not only the Creator, but the one who has recreated us and given us new life. And sadly, sometimes we just rush right in and we just, here's our list. I need you, I need you, I need you, I need you, I need, I need. My frustrations, my anxieties, my demands. And then we say amen and boom, we're off and running. Totally forget probably what we asked. And so I think it's healthy and something that I reflected on even in my time away, the need to stop, slow down, and be more intentional, more earnest in calling on the Lord. And the way we do that, and it's essential, I'm going to give you an asset, a little resource to help you hopefully do, to help expand your prayer time. And it's a little wheel that has 12 spokes on it, I guess you could say, or 12 sections. And if you dedicate 5 minutes to each section, that's an hour. And you say, who has time for that? Well, He has time, man, y'all. If we would bathe it in prayer, we can do far more than we realize. Because He'd be at work in and through that. And so I want to do that. And it's reflected in here. We'll spend every week on Wednesday nights just talking about prayer more intentionally, and prayers in the Bible, some of the more focused prayers, intentional prayers. In Matthew 6, Jesus and His disciples, He stops and He gives the model prayer, right? Traditionally called the Lord's Prayer. And He gives it to them. Now, sadly, what's happened is this has just become something that's just mindlessly repeated before sports events, right? And I've been in the locker rooms with athletes and on teams, and sometimes it's like, okay, let's pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And it's just it's like a rote thing, not thinking, being mindful. Wait, what are the principles and precepts that He's giving us there that I really need to put into practice and notice more carefully? Listen, what He focuses in on and how He begins that's really foundational to true prayer taking place is praise. Beginning with a recognition of who God is and not what I need. In fact, it's fascinating. As He opens in these first 10 words even, this single request, this time of praising before anyone offers up a request for my daily bread or my needs. Before anyone says, forgive me for my sin, right? My debts. For anyone says, deliver me, I need deliverance from this evil one. Jesus says, this is the priority. This is where it all begins. The priority is magnifying, exalting, hallowing the Lord, His glorious name. Now, Why in the world would that be so essential for my prayer time? And why is that essential? I want to encourage you. You know, someone says pray, you spell pray, P-R-A-Y, right? P starts with praise, praising him. R, your request, or repentance, getting your heart right so that, you know, when you get see God for who he is, sometimes then we can see ourselves for who we aren't being what we should be and what we need to do. So we repent and we ask for others, and then why yourself, that's one thing. But it starts with praise, or when we ask, we start with adoration, right? This priority of praising his name. And it's interesting how he highlights this. When you and I put God in his proper place and recognize who he is, we'll realize our proper place. And that's essential in your prayer time, right? If you'll put this into practice, some of these principles and precepts we learn over the next 12 weeks, I'm telling you, it'll radically change the way we pray, what we pray for, how we pray. And I believe we can see God really work through our prayers in a powerful way. And it starts with praising him. And so it starts with a relationship, as he says here in Matthew chapter 6. In this manner, therefore pray. So, okay, here's the principles, right? Here's how we should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Or our Father who art in heaven. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now notice, this is how we're not approaching some cold cosmic force, y'all. He's our Father. We're part of a community. Not just a community, we're part of a family. He's not just my Father, he's our Father. And that should be influencing my prayers for our family. That's why we intercede and pray for others and take some time during our time on Wednesday night to pray for the needs of others around us. That's why we're here, to intercede and pray to our Father. Praise God, we've not only been born again, we're adopted into this family now, whereby, as Paul would say in Galatians, we have the Spirit who dwells within us, who enables us to do what? Say, Abba, Father. Abba is the Hebrew word. You know, pater is the Greek, and the Greek, it says there in that prayer, he says in the Hebrew, for both the Jew and the Gentile, we can all call on in the same way. He's our Father. And yet, what's amazing about that, that intimacy which we should have with our Father, being able to lay our heart before him as his children, he knows what we need and when we need it, and he's able to give it. But then we stand in awe also because he's in heaven, right? He's separate from us in so many ways. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, the one who abides there on his throne, the one who isn't with us, but he is with us. He's accessible to us, and we can call on him. And so when we say that, we're acknowledging, listen, he's the one who's reigning and ruling over all things, y'all. He's in heaven. Now, how could that influence my prayer? If I really recognize I have a familial relationship, I am in a relationship with God where I belong to him as one of his children. As I said earlier, John would say it in 1 John, behold what manner of love the Father has shown to us. And we get to be called the children of God. We've become the children of God. We can call on him, and he's in control. Now, sometimes that might affect our prayer, because sometimes we might offer a prayer because we really want question whether he's in control or not. And I need to remind myself, no, he is in control. And he's working his plan. And the plan will be good for us as his children. And it will be glorious for his name. But here's our requirement. We got to recognize, hallowed be your name. Now, hallowedness, of course, the Greek term is hagiazo, which means to sanctify, to set apart, to separate as holy, right? Now, he's not just in heaven, but he's holy. He's holy other, right? I mean, a recognition just of reverence that he's ultimately different than us. Praise God. Amen. But he's making us like him, right? And so as we pray, we stand in reverence of the one that we're speaking to. Now, that's something else we've forgotten, right? This really changes our prayer, the way we approach him. He's our Holy Father. and the holy is what we've forgotten. Now, it's interesting when it says, hallowed be thy name. That means there's something, the name, of course, for a Jew, the name wasn't just a label, like that's what we call you. It represented you. It was your character and reputation, your identity. When you speak someone's name, it carries some weight with it. And it doesn't say specifically what name here, right, of God, because there's so many names that we find in the Bible. And each name teaches us something about the nature of who God is, his essence, what he's like. Whether he's Elwah, the God who sees all things. How could that change the way I pray? Well, God, you see all things. You know what's going on. I can call on you. El Shaddai, Almighty God. Well, that might influence me. Do I think he's got the power to do anything or not? No, I choose to believe he does. He's hallowed. That name is a hallowed name, an unchanging name, a name that has honor, and because there's none like it. And I can call on him, and it has to come first. See, because if it doesn't, then I'm not going to have the right focus as I pray. Recognizing his name, his essence. What kind of God is he? Is he a God who sees to it? Oh, yeah, that's Jehovah Jireh. Yeah, he is. Is he a God who can heal? I mean, we're going to pray and intercede for these. My dad needs healing. Others need healing. Do I believe that? Oh, it's Jehovah Rapha. Yeah, he is a God who heals. That name, those names of God, so critical for us. And to recognize is a hallowed name. One to be revering and recognizing. Now, when I focus on him and praise him, that helps me to put my prayer time to orient correctly, so I'm looking at him, not at myself, right? I'm focused on him, not centered on me. This is part of also recognizing thy kingdom come, thy will be done, not my kingdom come, my will be done, even as I pray. Can I be honest? Sometimes we pray, and that's not what God wants. That might be a newsflash. It might not be part of his plan, even though we earnestly want it. He might have another plan, y'all. But if we don't put him in his proper place first, we're going to miss that. Sometimes that's why I pray, God, if it's in your will and you've got more days for my dad, give it to him. But ultimately, I'm grateful. I can say my dad knows that it's all in his hands. That's all that matters to me. Because there's an eternity of days yet to be experienced. So I know God has a glorious plan. And I leave it there. Selfishly, oh, I want my dad. I want him here with me all. No. No, God, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. You are sovereign in control. And so we recognize who he is. It's a hallowed name. It's holy, holy, holy. Right? That's what the angels said over in Isaiah chapter 6 when they recognized who God is and they were worshiping. Isaiah was like, oh my goodness, look at, I'm undone. I need God to do something. And so when we hallow his name, we're really acknowledging something about the essence of God being holy other. But praise God, he's not so holy other that he doesn't make himself known to us through those names so we know how to call on him. What to ask of him, how to ask of him, why to believe that he's able to do the impossible because of his nature. I think sometimes it's a healthy exercise to keep a list of the names of God so that you can call on those names in times of need and ask, God, you're Adonai, the Lord who is in control of this created order. Lord, you're in control of what's taking place. So do your good work. We do this when we pray, hallowing him. Explicitly, sometimes praise him, magnify him. It's kind of like, you know, a lot of students used to be like, let's raise the roof, right? I mean, we need to do that in our prayer time. Raise the roof, y'all, get a bigger vision of who he is. Our prayers will be bolder, I believe. Our prayers will be with greater conviction because I'm praying in accordance with who he is and what he's able to do and earnestly seeking his will. And so when I reflect on that, sometimes praising him for his essence, his attributes. We studied those several years ago. Why? Well, when I know his names, it tells me who he is. When I know his attributes, it tells me what he's like, and I praise him for that. God, I praise you tonight that you're a good God, and you give good gifts to your children. I praise you that that is a, not just a benevolent spirit, it's an omnibenevolent, always benevolent spirit. Means you're gracious to us, you're merciful to us. So I come asking because you give good gifts to your children. As Jesus would say later in the Sermon on the Mount, ask, seek, knock. Come on, men. If you being evil give good gifts to your children, how much more will he? Jesus based that whole request, ask, seek. He based that all on the goodness of God, his attribute, who he is. Sometimes reflecting on that, those good attributes we studied when we walked through the doctrine of God back in February, and we talked about the, as Moses was there on the mountain and the goodness of God passed by him. Remember, God allowed him, Moses, here, I'm gonna hide you and I'm gonna pass by, you can't see me. But, and he heard the Lord proclaim, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long suffering, abounding in goodness and faithful or true, right? Keeping hesed, keeping his loving, faithful love to thousands. Remind yourselves of those attributes sometimes before you pray. Don't just rush right in. Stop for a minute. How am I going to praise him tonight? God, what do I want to praise him for before I even pray? So that I really get the right focus and acknowledge who he is and who I am. And as we do that, this is where all the prayer begins. Because then the next thing that comes is just pausing for a moment and waiting and allowing the Spirit of God to begin to work on our mind now that we've got our minds rightly oriented on him, right? Let's be honest. Sometimes we rush in and I know what I'm going to ask for. I got to ask for this. And I'm looking down here on this plane and I ain't even elevated to that plane yet so I can get a proper perspective of what this situation is and to pray enabled by the Spirit of God according to the will of God, in accordance with his nature, his essence, who he is and what kind of God he is. Beginning our prayer, praising him. Actually, it's how we'll also end the prayer, this time of praising him. But learning to do that, being more intentional. Listen, put this into practice this week. By the way, he says, our Father. Sometimes, well, do we pray to Father? Do we pray to Jesus? Do we pray to the Spirit? Okay, here it is, ready? Here's the paradigm that the Word of God gives us. Jesus taught us to pray to the Father in his name, because he's the one who made that relationship possible, in the power of the Spirit of God. So the whole Trinity is at work in our prayer time, oriented, looking to a good, good Father as his children because of what Christ has done for us. And Spirit of God, help me to know what to ask for and how to ask, and to ask in a way that honors my Father for who he is and what he's done and what he's able to do. And so if we'll learn to do that, teach your children to do it that way. Model that before them, calling on the Father. And model this part. Find something, at least one attribute or a name to help you to praise him. And that will, I tell you, sometimes I call on Lord, I'm asking for strength and for healing for someone, and I'm only asking because you're the great physician. I know God can use medicine. I know God can use procedures. But at the end of the day, beloved, he can speak a word, and it can be healed like that. Amen? Look at Danny's heart, right? Amen. The monitor. He's able to. Well, let's orient my mind on that first before I start asking. And let's choose to believe he is who he says he is in his word. And that'll grow our faith too. Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray. Let's praise him. Father, as we close for just a moment, we do praise you. Jesus, thank you that this is the model. This is the way you've taught us how to pray. So, Lord, help us to put it into practice. Help us not to rush in and just give you our laundry list of needs and to-do list and say amen. God, help us truly to know you as you are, so we'll pray as we ought. Forgive us, Lord, for our self-centeredness sometimes, even in our prayer time. Lord, Help us to be more intentional and earnest in this. And teach us over these next several weeks, Lord, so that our prayer life really thrives. Lord Jesus, thank you that you make these prayers possible. So we ask them in your name and all for your glory. And so we all ask this tonight in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.